When you look around you, you see corruption, deception, and selfishness. People only care for themselves, and their main preoccupation is how to get more pleasure out of life. And they have become apathetic. They really don't care who is the government, what the government does, what the family does, what people around them do. And the church has been sort of forgotten because they feel that the church kept them blind or is corrupt and full of hypocrites. And so there is a general malaise, a general sickness, if you wish, of apathy. Commitments and relationships in general are conditional and usually depend on the amount of pleasure they give. For as long as I get pleasure out of my relationship with my wife, my children, my friends, my job, I will continue. But if not, then that's the end of that. People feel. When relationships become lukewarm, apathy comes in and true love moves out. Hate is not the opposite of love. Apathy is. Hate is not the opposite of love. Apathy is. Apathy is the reason why people stop caring about others, their family, their politicians, their country, their church, and even their relationship with God. Plato said, the price of apathy towards public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. When you talk to people about their relationship with God, often the response is one of apathy. Well, oh well, who knows? Or I'm not sure. Or I'm only human, I can't be perfect. Helen Keller said, science may have found cure for most evils, but it has found no remedy for the worst of them all, the apathy of the human being. Now, what is exactly apathy? It comes from the Greek word pathos, feeling, passion. Apathy means without feeling or dullness of feeling. Apathetic means unfeeling, unconcerned, indifferent, loss of interest, etc. Even in the church, apathy has become a way of life. The real problem in the church today is apathy. The church is full of spectators who usually come to receive whatever pleases them, but not willing to participate, give, or help. The same thing applies with our politicians, with our leaders in general. For as long as they get good salaries, as long as things are running well, as long as they get a pleasure out of what they're doing, they will do it. But they will become apathetic about the condition of the people they lead. Our battles as believers are often in the church. The sin that is effectively weakening and destroying the church and its testimony and influence is the sin of apathy. Lukewarmness. Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Another translation says, I'll vomit you out. And again, if you think about what the Bible says, because you are neither cold nor hot, I cannot enjoy you. I will not even drink you. What it means is that we want to have the world and holiness, the world and God. We want to have, as the saying goes, we want to have our pie and eat it too. We want to have the whole thing, and yet we want to eat it. We want to enjoy the church, and yet we don't want to give up sin. We don't want to devote ourselves completely. We don't want to commit ourselves completely to our wife or husband or children. We want to enjoy, after all, the advertisements today on television say, you are the only person that matters. You deserve to be happy. And that has gone all the way to the extreme to make people so self-centered, so selfish, and apathetic to the feelings of others. And people are right when they say, and I have people who have come to me and said, you know what, religion is big business. And when I agree with them, they are surprised that I'm agreeing with them, because I'm in the church and I'm a teacher, for example. And I tell them that God never intended religion to come up in our lives. Religion is man-made stuff. What God wanted us to do is to believe that He exists, that He is in control of everything, and He wanted us to worship Him and go by His rules and not make our own rules as we go by. Jesus, speaking to the believers in Sardis, said, you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. And I believe this applies to individuals and churches today, and religions in general, that they seem to be so alive with activities, prayer sessions, activities and workshops and all kinds of crusades and things. And yet, very often you realize that these are all mechanical unless the Spirit is getting in touch or connecting with God. Apathy paralyzes a relationship, a government, a family, and a church. Apathy. Today, people look at the governments, look at the politicians, look at the church, look at the religious people and say, give me a break. They all are the same. And that has become a way of life with most people. And it's not the fault of God that we have corrupted our systems. It's not the fault of God that we made worshiping God a big business. It's not the fault of God that we are destroying the nature. It's not the fault of God that we turn away from God and anything that is holy to sinful pleasures, which eventually destroy the soul and destroy the body. Apathy in the church means less concern and interest about activities and service, less or no time for Bible studies and prayer meetings, little or no concern about others. When we get together a few weeks from now to start a new year, and we are today, as a matter of fact, nominating, a committee will be meeting to nominate new officers, we often ask the question, who is going to make a commitment and stick with that commitment? Usually people are very willing to run for politics, to run for office, to run for church offices, and accept responsibilities and titles, and yet after a while apathy sets in and they really don't want to come out from their comfort zone. They're very comfortable what they don't do or do. Apathy leads to self-centeredness and self-righteousness. People become satisfied with bare spiritual necessities. Their comfort zone becomes their only concern. You may say, well, you're saying these things because you are a pastor. But the truth of the matter is many people are very comfortable in saying that I'm a Christian and then go to church every Christmas maybe or Easter, or when there is a baptismal service or a wedding, and they feel that everything is fine, and yet that's not what it is. It's like getting married and telling your spouse that, well, you know what, I can't spend all day with you. I will go to my friends and I'll live my life, and once in a while I'll come and be with you. It doesn't work. That's not a commitment. That's not to becoming one. That's not a real commitment. That is only a commitment of convenience, and we do it to satisfy ourselves and our needs. It also leads to giving grudgingly or not at all, not realizing that it is robbing God. Apathy takes away or robs the desire of evangelism, reaching out and helping the poor and the needy and bringing them the good news. And it replaces it with a desire for entertainment and the popular sport of doctrinal and denominational competition, and even warfare with catastrophic results. Most of the wars have been, or many wars have been started in the name of religion. In the name of religion, wars have been declared. In the name of religion, families have been destroyed. In the name of religion, churches have been burnt down and bombed. In the name of religion, people are killed. And this is that has led to people being apathetic. They don't even look at religion and think of God. They just think of their religion, their commitment to a particular ideology or idea. And yet, being a religious quote-unquote person should have meant that we are worshiping our Creator and God. Apathy or lukewarmness is another evil and dangerous satanic plan of deception. It is dangerous because it is a very deceptive plan. The devil does not destroy all the biblical truths. No, that would be too obvious. He very boldly distorts and changes the biblical truths to confuse people and redirect people's attention from Christ to doctrines and doctrinal debates and arguments. Now, you go, there are at least 2 billion, over 2 billion people claim to be Christians. And you, if you go to them and say, well, there is no God, some of them, they will say, oh, yeah, I'm not sure. But most of them will say, yeah, I believe in a God. And yet that's where they stop. Apathy has set in. Just to say that I believe in God doesn't make that a relationship, personal relationship with God. As it is true in a marriage, if you just to say that I'm married with you, and you go with the girls and I'll go with the boys, and then we'll meet together once in a while, it's not what marriage is all about. Apathy. People don't care today what happens to the wife, what happens to the husband, what happens to the children. They have their own life to live. And they are lukewarm with the idea of being there and being a father, being a mother, being a child, taking care of the loved ones, going to church, loving God, worshiping God. All this sounds so weird. Today, we are free and we can do anything we want, and look at the results. What has this led to? Satan also feeds people and churches with a false sense of security and wellness by deceiving them into believing that they are fine. As long as they are busy with religious activities and doctrinal wars, they will never see their condition of apathy and lukewarmness until it's too late. It's like the frog. And this, you've heard this example so many times. You take a frog and throw it into a pail of cold water or or in cold water, and that will be fine. But you take that frog and throw it in boiling water, it will jump out right away. But when you take that cold water and put it on a stove and start heating it slowly, the frog will get used to the warmness and eventually will be boiled completely, not without realizing that he's dying. That's what happens to the human heart. That's what is happening to the human being in the church or in our society. But victims in the church and outside, not understanding their condition, feel good and satisfied just the way they are and continue in that condition. He or she does not see the need to change and feels very proud of his or her religion. But does not realize that in the eyes of God, he or she is pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, the Bible says. Now, why is Jesus so harsh, and why is he rebuking them? Well, the answer is in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent." I believe discipline is something that has gone out of the window also. Families don't feel that their life should be a disciplined life. We don't discipline our children. We want them to grow up finding God, life on their own. We don't want to discipline children in the schools. We don't want to discipline ourselves. We don't want to discipline people in the church. And I don't mean discipline, beating them up and throwing them out. But what I mean to say is teach people what is right and what is wrong, and presenting to them the consequences of doing wrong. Many professing Christians seem to be satisfied with their condition, and they don't want to be bothered or disturbed with the truth of, or waken up from their sleep. But listen to what God says to those who are spiritually asleep. "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." In Romans 13, chapter 13 and verse 14, we read, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." I believe that realizing that we are in a comfort zone and we don't want to come out from the comfort zone is the first step. I believe to make a commitment and say, "Well, from now on, I am going to be calling my grandmother once a week." It's a commitment. To say that I am going to be talking to my parents regularly, that's a commitment. To say that I'm going to pay attention to my children and show them love and compassion, that's a commitment. To say that I'm going to be praying to God regularly, because I believe that He is my Creator and He loves me and He has provided everything I need, is a commitment. To say that I'm going to be going to church, not because I'm getting something out of it necessarily, but I would like to help others. You see, once again, the saying, "Don't ask your country what can your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country," applies to the church too. People come to the church very often, or most of the time, to listen to a choir or a soloist, or to listen to a gifted pastor or preacher or lecturer, and then to meet some friends and have a good fellowship, and they go home. The whole process is what I'm getting out of the church. It's what the church is giving me. But the church actually is like a family. When you are, if you have the same attitude in your family, then you are selfish. You would be considered selfish. What my wife is giving me, what my husband is giving me, what my children are giving me, what comforts do I have? And you don't ask, what am I doing for my wife, my husband, my children? What am I doing for my home? Is something that we haven't done very often. And I believe that's what it is with a church also. A church should be a fellowship, a gathering of human beings, black, white, yellow, red, no matter what nationality, what language, no matter what religious backgrounds we are a family. And if we are a family, then your concern should be my concern, and my concern should be yours. And we don't pay a minister or a pastor to look after everyone. That's what we've been doing now. And yet it should be every one of us looking after the needs of others, seeing who is suffering, who needs fellowship, who needs friendship, who can I help. The closing words of Jesus to the church are, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Scripture says to the churches." Revelation 3:22. The church is you and I. Now the question is, for how long will we remain idle and apathetic? What is keeping the believers in the church idle and apathetic? Even though we see the church being threatened with spiritual paralysis and destruction, we sometimes compare churches, compare religions, and say, "Wow, these churches are closing down. There are so many churches." At one time, Quebec used to be the most religious place or province or in North America, and yet today, hundreds, if not thousands, of churches are closing down, and people have rejected the church. Why? Do you blame the people? Do you blame the church? Do you blame the system? There are all kinds of reasons why we feel that the church has failed, and the church has failed. But when a church becomes an organization, when a church becomes a business, when a church becomes an arm or an instrument to promote some kind of doctrine or some kind of philosophy, then people become apathetic and rejected. But when the church is a place where human beings get together and fellowship and help each other, then it becomes a family, and people want to join families. That's why mafia or the groups or all kinds of other groups succeed, because young people today feel at home, or they feel wanted or cared by those who surround them. And how can we justify our idleness and apathy, even though we see the world in general and the church in particular going through an awesome and dangerous crisis? Before we know it, it will be too late. Let me close with the words of Asaph, one of King David's choir director. He wrote, "Revive us and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved." May God revive His church, His people. May God revive us all. Amen. Father in heaven, we need your help. We need your directions, and we need to take your directions seriously and make serious commitments to you. Father, be with us this morning, and for the rest of our life, may we see you present in our daily activities. May we feel your hand guiding us, directing us, and help us to keep our commitments and honor them. In your blessed name I pray. Amen.